Try harder. You hear it all the time. You say it yourself. Have more willpower, more self-control over what you eat or drink or say to your boss or do in your free time. You need to exercise, control your spending, resist the endless temptations out there, and if you fail, when you fail, try harder. That's the message we get constantly. And so much of the conversation about helping our kids succeed focuses on the same thing. But for them, as for so many of us, it seems that the harder we try, the harder it is to impose self-control, and the more distant the goal becomes. We berate ourselves for being weak. Children do the same thing, and the self-blame and shame work against every good thing we hope for them in school and life. New advances in neuroscience are unlocking the secrets of why we behave the way we do, and more to the point, why it is so hard at times to behave the way we want. These same advances are also telling us how to change our behavior, and that self-control has little to do with the solution. In fact, research now shows that the more we focus on self-control and the harder we push for it, the harder self-control and positive behavioral change can become. Don't get me wrong, self-control is important. We're all aware of individuals who have risen to the top of their field who are models of self-control. But much more fundamental is the stress load that we're under and how well we deal with this, how well we self-regulate. In fact, the closer you look at these success stories, the more you'll see that what really sets them apart is their remarkable ability to self-regulate. The more aware we are of when we're becoming overstressed and know how to break this cycle, the better we self-regulate. In other words, manage the myriad stresses in our lives. The autonomic nervous system, ANS, reacts to stress with metabolic processes that consume energy and then sets in motion compensating processes that promote recovery and growth. The greater our stress load, the more constrained this recovery process, and as a result, the fewer our resources to exercise self-control, and the more intense our impulses become. Once you understand the brain's natural response to stress and practice self-reg, the very need to impose self-control often disappears. Advances in neuroscience upend stubborn myths about the roots of behavior. The association between poor self-control and weakness is the most punishing aspect of a remarkably ancient outlook that viewed self-control as a matter of strength and character. That idea has held sway for thousands of years. Being judged as having poor self-control has been the source of untold guilt and personal recrimination. Modern science tells us that this outlook isn't just archaic, it is fundamentally flawed. One of the big modern breakthroughs in the science of self-regulation was the discovery of the operation of the limbic system, what Joseph Ledoux called the emotional brain. This subcortical complex lies below the prefrontal cortex, PFC, and its main structures are the amygdala, hippocampus, hypothalamus, and striatum. The limbic system, and in particular the amygdala and nucleus accumbens in the ventral striatum, is the source of our strong emotions and urges. It plays a critical role in the formation of memories and the emotional associations that get attached to those memories, positive as well as negative. Love, desire, fear, shame, anger, and trauma share a neurological home base here. In times past, it was initially tempting to see the brain's functioning as a kind of hierarchy, in which higher executive systems in the PFC rule over and control the urges coming from the lower limbic system. The idea was that when we give in to desires, it is because our PFC is too weak to inhibit the strong impulses emanating from the limbic system. The ancient and unchallenged idea of willpower and self-control as a kind of mental muscle fit right into this view. Just as in Socrates' day, the remedy, it was thought, was to strengthen the executive systems for self-control, much as you'd strengthen a muscle, through rigorous practice and discipline. In that paradigm, the exercise of self-denial, resisting temptation and base impulses, becomes a kind of bench press for self-control. However, advances in brain science in the past two decades reveal a strikingly different picture. The capacity of the prefrontal cortex to play a rational inhibitory role, for example, by weighing the value of an immediate reward against a long-term gain or cost, is significantly reduced when someone's stress load is excessive. Especially important here is the hypothalamus, which is viewed as the brain's master control system because of the critical role it plays in the regulation of an extraordinary number of systems: the immune system, body temperature, hunger, thirst, fatigue, circadian rhythms, heart rate and breathing, digestion, metabolism, cellular repair, and even important aspects of hearing, speaking, mind-reading other people's social and emotional cues, parenting, and attachment behaviors. All of these different functions are tied to the brain's most primitive response to anything from relatively minor stressors to full-on threats, or at least what our limbic system decides is a threat. When we can calm that response, we begin to bring all the other self-regulation processes into sync. Self-control is important, but not the central organizing feature of a strong, healthy mind and life success. Self-regulation is.